Hey, you! Tune into the latest gossip and topics no one likes to talk about. The conversation that makes us all uncomfortable. Let's talk about it on The Breakdown Podcast. I'm your host, Brittany Marlette, and I've been expecting you, darling. Can you imagine being 12 years old and being sent in a mental institution? Also, can you imagine being 15 as a mother, a bodyguard for your brother who was a drug dealer, robbing a convenience store, raised in Brooklyn, New York, now living in Pennsylvania? Chyna Mayers, inspirational published author. The book is called A Letter to God. Today, we have with us Miss Chyna. Hi, Chyna. How are you?
Hi. How you doing, Brittany?
I am good. So, you know, I noticed, some of those things that I said in there, but I know it's absolutely more to that. So let's just back up. So you, at the age of 12, you were sent to a mental institution. How did that come about at 12?
Okay. What happened was, God only gives you what you can handle. That's just the way it is. We might not realize that, but it's true. So what happened was my sister and I were playing Truth or Dare, and everyone was given, well, you had to pick Truth or Dare. I picked Dare. So they said to me, go in the bathroom closet and take any bottle of pills. I was 12. I thought, okay, well, they're probably aspirins because, you know, I've taken aspirins before. My mother's given me aspirins. It can't be that bad, right? Took the bottle, and there were probably 30 in there. I took half of them. And when I woke up in a mental institution, tied and bound. So they thought I had tried to commit suicide was the thing.
Yeah, and I'm assuming that that's exactly what they thought. And you're probably like, wait a minute, no, it was just a truth or dare game. This is not, right. I'm not suicidal. What are you guys doing?
Exactly. And my sister was afraid to say anything because she thought she might get in trouble because she was 3 years older than me. So she was like, everybody was like, what happened? And she was like, I don't know.
Oh no, this is the time for you to tell them we were just playing.
Exactly. So when I told my mom, she was like, oh.
Right. That's like okay. Now, yeah. Now 15, you became a mother. Now that's pretty young because, you know, that's definitely pretty young because you're a kid yourself, you know? How was that?
Yeah, well, listen, my faith, reading the Bible and everything, and I didn't read a lot of it, just, you know, certain parts. And a lot of what I was reading was that children were getting married. I want to have a family because the family I have isn't so great. I could just make my own family and have a husband and children and bake cookies. I became, you know, aggressive on trying to fulfill that goal, you know? And so I met this guy, we were in school, and basically all he had to do was say he loved me and that was the end of the world. You know, I was like, oh my God. I had no plans on having children, but of course, you know, I thought I'd marry this guy and, you know, we'd buy a house, he'd have a paper route, and we would just live, you know, a wonderful, beautiful life. And I was in this relationship. I was going to marry this guy, and I got pregnant. And it was devastating, you know, because I didn't even really know. I was the youngest of 7 children, and none of her children, you know, had intimate relations outside of wedlock. And so when she found out, she was devastated, you know, and she just couldn't imagine, you know, how this happened.
You actually had got bitten by a dog. And so you had, that was the time. So you're bleeding and stuff like that. You went to the hospital and then you're like, okay, well, I have to tell my mom.
Right. Because they wanted to stick a needle in my stomach, this big, long tetanus shot in my stomach. And I was like, oh, they can't do that. They'd probably kill the baby. So I told the doctor, I'm having a baby and I can't get that shot. And my mother, her face of disappointment, it was actually, it gave me chills because you could just see how disappointed she was in me, And she didn't understand, that I was on this goal, to have a family and, do things right. And make a difference and have children that could love me and that I could love, and things would be great.
So she threw you out the house. So you ultimately became homeless.
Yeah, we had a really big disagreement about that, and I tried to explain to her that it's not so bad. I'm gonna marry this guy and we're gonna have children. And I'm going to get my picket fence and I'm going to do things better. And she was so mad. She just took me and shook me and I rolled down the steps and fell down the steps. And she said, I want you out of my house. And I ended up living on the street. I was staying at friend's house, sleeping in the basement at my boyfriend's house sometime without his family knowing. And so I slept, in abandoned buildings, wherever I could, that's where I slept, and I bathed wherever I could, school, friend's house. Sometime I didn't bathe, sometime I didn't eat, unless I was at school. Now on weekends, you can't eat if school isn't open. So, it was kind of hard on the weekends. During the week, I made provisions, like I would stay at friends' house and stuff. And then one day I thought, I have a lot of sisters. Maybe, one of them would take me in. So I called my one sister and she said, you can come live with me.
That didn't work out so well, and a few of your family members. And this is how you became to start living with your brother, who opened his doors for you. And he initially said, like, hey, I got a job for you. But this wasn't the job that you thought it was going to be.
I had to watch his back when he would go. And the term is called re-up. When you have drugs and you need to get more of your supply, you have to re-up. So when he would go to re-up, it's dangerous because they could get robbed. You've got to be, vigilant and look out and, make sure no one robs him or, because there's thousands of dollars in that exchange. One time, I think it was like $50,000 in a bag. I was holding the bag and we got the drugs and went back. And God is so amazing. Brittany, I just, I want to tell people, no matter what you do, no matter what happens, if you ask for forgiveness, you will be forgiven.
Yes.
So no, I'm not saying go out there and do bad things. I'm saying what happens, people make mistakes. People, have to learn. And that's not the problem. The problem is if you keep doing those things, if, 20 years later, I'm still doing that thing, that's where the problem, lies. One time we had picked up, it was probably about $50,000 worth of drugs. And I was in the car and I stayed in the car with the drugs, and my brother had got out because he had my gun. I gave him my gun and he went inside, and I'm still in the car, and he didn't know this, but I was praying, asking God to forgive me for everything, mm-hmm. And while I was sitting in the car, Probably about 15 cops went inside where my brother was, and they said, you know, open the door. He had a bulletproof door inside the restaurant, so you couldn't get behind the counter. And they said, open the door, blah, blah, blah. And he said, no. He goes, I'm going to call my lawyer. I got my lawyer on the phone. My lawyer said, I don't have to open up the door. Do you have a warrant? Blah, blah, blah. And they said, no. But I was behind my brother. He went in. And if I would have went in holding those drugs, I would have been in jail.
It seems like, so you've always been a believer of God. And you know, we all fall short of his glory. All of us. Yes. You know, and the power of prayer, it's like, no matter, yeah, you know, you were doing some things that you shouldn't have, but you always had him beside you. Now, knowing that you completely changed your life over, has this helped family members or friends around you kind of look at you as an example?
I don't know. But I do speak about, you know, what's happened, and, you know, I wrote the book, and I want to be an inspiration to people, because sometimes people lose hope. And when they're going through those hard times, and trials and tribulations, they have to understand that that's not going to be forever. But what matters is how you come out on the other side, you know. You can't come out on the other side hating God or hating people. You know, like, yeah, my mom put me out, but she had her reasons. Maybe, I'm thinking, if hindsight was 20/20, maybe I should have walked around the block and came back in and got in my bed.
Right, 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 right.
You know? So God has always been there. And I'll tell anybody, I'll shout it from the rooftops.
Yes, yes.
It's because of him, I'm the person I am today. And I'm not saying I'm perfect. What I'm saying is that, you know, if I realize I'm doing something wrong, I try not to do it again. Now, sometimes it's hard because we are full of sin. It's human nature. But you have to fight it. You have to say to yourself, I shouldn't be doing that.
You know, I've always believed in God. I pray, you know, things like that. But then you have these habits that you have had over the years. You have acquired over the years, and you're like, okay, it's so habitual that you've done it, and then you don't even notice that you're doing it anymore because it's my habit, right?
Exactly.
And so I've got to that point where, and God gives you like a light bulb moment. He does. And I always that God has a sense of humor, because you know what? God would send you through the same exact thing over and over and over.
Yeah.
Until you get it right.
I used to be so quick to anger because I had to defend myself and you know, be in charge of my life. And, you know, I'm still trying to work that out. I'm still, you know, I don't have to be quick to anger. I don't, you know, I'm not living that life anymore, so I don't have to be that way. But it's a really hard habit to break. I'm not going to let you take advantage of me. I'm not going to let you disrespect me. It's that mentality. It's hard to break, but you don't want to be taking advantage of. And so, you know, you become quick to anger. And it's like I said, it's a hard habit to break. But I'm not where I should be, but I'm definitely not where I was.
China, where did you get to this point where you're like, okay, I've done all of this. Now it's time to write a book.
Well, my whole life, I searched for love. My whole life. And I haven't been too successful. I had to write the book because I know there's maybe some 15-year-old going through the same thing. Or, you know, a mother, you know. I know somebody is struggling right now. If they could just realize, because when you're going through hard times, you can't see light. Believe in God. He can keep the light. light cannot put out darkness because God is light. You have to remember that tomorrow's another day. You know that your suffering might help somebody else.
Just your spirit alone, like I get a certain vibe, and I thank God for my discernment spirit. I'm able to get, you know, get a feeling off someone, and I pray for that because I wasn't always so good at knowing who's who. You know what I mean? So I had to pray and ask God to give me a sense of discernment where I'm able to differentiate who's who, who's the bad guy, who's the good guy, God, because I don't know. The good thing now is that you're married, but I know that, you know, it brings trauma, you know, to probably, maybe, I'm just guessing, that it probably have brought trauma to the marriage a little bit because you're like, you know, you're unraveling all of these things that has happened. But I think God is a timely God. So he knows exactly what he's doing and when to do it.
Yeah, well, the thing is, and I'm not saying, I think in any relationship, everybody's to blame. You know, you have to acknowledge that, you know, you're not perfect. And even though it looks like the other guy maybe did all the harm, you got to have some kind of blame too. I had a friend, her husband didn't like that she didn't bathe enough. It's like, she believed that, you know, bathing a lot made her skin dry. So, is she to blame a little bit for the breakup? Well, yeah, because he talked to her about it and he was admin and, you know, and how he felt. Yeah, everybody's got a part. Now, I've been in a few relationships, but I'll tell you this, I try to give it 150%. Any relationship I have, I really don't care whether it's a husband or a friend or a daughter or a son. I try to give my all, you know, because I know that's what God wants me to do. He wants me to give all of myself. I've never went into a relationship saying, don't be like that guy because that guy, you know, did this. I've never done that. I don't want to do that because I want to forget about that. Not that I want to forget about that person, but I want to forget about that relationship because that's over. And there's a reason why our feet are facing forward, because we have to go forward. That's what God wants for us. That's how we learn. That's how we grow. That's how we become better human beings, by going forward. So when I'm in another relationship, I don't look back on what was said or done, because I'm not in that anymore. I always believed in love, and I know in the Bible that's what God wants. He wants you to have a mate.
I personally believe that God picks a specific, I believe that there's a specific somebody designed for me. God wants us to forgive each other, and that's with repenting. You know, when we repent to God, we're like, you know, God, I messed up. Yeah. You know, like you said, as long as you're not repeatedly like, oh, okay, God, I messed up, and then you're doing the same thing over and over again. Like, okay, well, did you learn your lesson?
And I'm not saying that, you know, I'm like the quickest learner, because, you know, sometimes it's like, oh man, I did that again, you know, and you just, because I believe in God, I want to do better. You know, I'm never going to be perfect, but I at least want to try.
I think, like I said before, you are definitely an inspiration. I can't wait. Like, you guys, listen to all the listeners. Chynna Myers has a book, you guys. It's called A Letter to God. Now, that title alone is just intriguing. Can you imagine just writing a letter to God? You guys, to all the listeners, what would you say if you were writing a letter to God? For those who want to get in touch with you, what are ways that they can get in touch with you?
They can find me on LinkedIn. I am under Chynna, just Chynna. I have a website that they could email me or write a message. And the website is on LinkedIn. And also you can Google inspirational published author, speaker, and screenwriter. and that my website will come up there.
China is Pain on the Breakdown with Brittany Marlette, you guys. She's such an inspiration. Don't forget to go and check out that book, A Letter to God. And don't forget to answer my question. What would you write to God? China, it was a pleasure. I love you. And I'm wishing you the best of luck on your book.
Thank you so much for having me, Brittany. I appreciate it.
Sure, you were listening to this episode and you were like, hey, I have something to say. Well, here's your chance. Don't hold your tongue. Send a message. Let us hear your thoughts. Although, we're never wrong. The Breakdown loves hearing people do dope things. So, if you have a business or an event that wants a shout out, The Breakdown will do just that. How are we going to do that, Brittany Marlette? Send a message, include your business name or an event, details about your event, add The Breakdown to your favorites, and you're all set. Get ready for your shout out because we support. You have just listened to The Breakdown with Brittany Marlette, also available on Anchor and Spotify. We'll be expecting you, darling, on our next episode.